And so I'll probably give you a thorough view of things as I know it in this community. I've been here 5 years. It's a great little community. I love the people in it. They just really take care of me. We sit on a kind of a unique zone here in Ruby. Like the chief said, across the river is hot springs that just pop right out of the ground, but we sit over a thermal zone that even passes over on this side of the river. We don't know about what happens in that thermal zone except for the going up there and taking a bath at hot springs. Kind of used it for many years for medicinal kind of things. People have problems, they go up there and they sit in the tub a little bit. We also have wind. Some of our obstacles or challenges to capturing the wind or thermal is study money. There's just not enough of it. So we could use those kind of monies in rural Alaska. I think to do some energy, real energy conversions. The chief had mentioned PCE being really helping us out. Even though we pay 98 cents, it does help, okay? But each person in here is racking up $10 or $20 a day on electricity, particularly if you got a home that has a sewer system that needs to plug in some heat line or heat tape or something, you know. It's really costly. I think that is the cost of living out here has driven many people to transmigrate to urban centers. The cost of fuel coming out here, we pay huge shipping costs. We also, whenever we buy that gas, we're paying a highway gas tax dollars, and we never see a cent of that in rural Alaska. I think that probably those that make the law and change laws should probably consider something for rural Alaska in terms of tapping into some of those highway dollars or something to subsidize fuel deliveries in rural Alaska. I think that would help us out a lot. Something like the bypass mail kind of laws that they got going. So if we can have some help on that, that would be great. The sciences, we've jumped on the opportunity to do some experimenting with the Yukon River here in front of town, in hopes of lowering our costs. And it's really, really important, I think, for rural Alaska to be able to sustain itself, okay? But it seems to me that the rural residents are kind of caught in a system, whereas we had a nice water plant down there, but they built us a new water plant. That new water plant's costing us $4,000 a month, okay? That's a month. And of course, the state doesn't give the cities any more money like they used to when we had some good programs for municipalities. So that's become a burden. So we're going to do some solar panels there. We have some energy proposals to convert that, convert some of the electric lights and some of the fixtures. And we plan to the proposal to move the current clinic over there, expand a little bit and tie into that facility to maybe lower the operational costs. Furnaces that they put in, of course, those engineers, they dream big when they dream a project in rural Alaska, so it's all overbuilt. Could be the smaller furnaces in there. And so we're working on those types of changes to the facility. I think maybe there should be value engineering whenever they engineer something for rural Alaska. Send it back to the architects for some value engineering and be reasonable about it and bring these costs down for rural Alaska. We plan to put some solar panels on that. We're kind of stuck with that PCE law out here in terms of like AVAC, you know. Oh, we don't want no change. It's going to disrupt our operations. But us small, independent electric companies say, hey, we need to have some changes to incorporate new business, new technology into old, what I call old mini grids. Our grid system needs to be upgraded for those type of things. So there's a lot that I think could be done, and we look forward to you guys giving a good report to make sure that type of thing happens. Great. That's all I got to say, I think.
Thank you. Thank you very
probably
much.
Enough.
We appreciate it. It's a lot. Questions from the committee? Okay, thank you. Got some more sign-ups? Okay, next I have Jeff Bosworth.
You folks met me down by the hydro turbine that the Watershed Council's been working with, and I worked with the company, ABS Alaskan, that sold them the equipment. And kind of what I wanted to bring to you is a lot of things that I see working for a renewable energy company. One of the biggest things is education. You know, communities like Ruby and communities all over Alaska are getting more and more involved in alternative energy and trying to find a way to bring their natural resources so that they can lower things like costs like fuel and electricity. But one of the problems is that everybody feels that it's out of their grasp, either financially or they don't have the resources or the people to tell them what to do with it. We constantly get people into our business who just happen to walk in the door to buy a battery. And then they see the solar panels and they see the wind turbines and they see the hydro turbines. And they go, wow, you guys have been here 16 years. We could have been doing this all along. You know, I didn't know much about this industry until 4 years ago when I joined the company. And, you know, 4 years ago, I was looking at my electric bill going, you know, how can I do something about it? But there was nobody that I could turn to, really, that was saying, hey, next Saturday there's a class, and we'll step you through it. Step by step, we'll point you in the direction of the tax incentives. We'll point you in the direction of joining programs like, for instance, what GBA offers in the Fairbanks area, which is a SNAP program. One of the other things that I've seen working for ABS Alaskan is penalties. Penalties for doing the right thing by our earth, by our people, and doing the right thing by our communities. We were involved in a project of putting up wind turbines for a native corporation that was trying to cut costs so that they could provide products to the people in their village at a lower cost by not having to pay so much in electricity. And then the company that ran the electric in that area turned around and hit them with a fine, at which they in turn also raised the rates for the other people in the village. To offset that cost of the electricity they lost from their village store, deciding to go to renewable energy to run their reefers. Things like that don't make people want to take on projects like the hydro turbine or put up wind turbines. Or even, you know, solar hot water. And then there are people that have done very successful projects, like one gentleman in Nome, who is running a four-bedroom, two-story house, three-car garage based on solar hot water and a wind turbine. And I've actually sat in his home in the middle of winter in Nome, and his furnace only kicks over to electricity 5 minutes every hour. I bought my home in Fairbanks based on the wind regime. But a problem I face is I'm a working Joe. You know, I would love to be able to cut my electrical costs. I'd love to be able to cut the electrical cost of my neighbors. But there's no organization or educational facility that can kind of step me through the program as to how I can go about getting the funding to put those things on my property, to be able to provide that service back to the community, things like that. And, you know, that's the key thing that I could see that you could bring back for all communities is an education program of some kind that addresses the needs of communities like Ruby and other areas, not just the rural areas of Alaska, but also the urban areas like Fairbanks and Juneau and Anchorage. Because because until we bring that education to people, they're just going to continue with the status quo, and then we're going to look back 20 years from now and go, oh, gee, we should have done something. And that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Next is Ed Sarton.
Hello. I'm Ed Sarton. I work for Ruby Tribal Council, and I've lived here for 10 years. I've been all over the United States, Mexico, and everywhere. And I know that there's villages that operate totally off the grid system. They use solar panels, hot water heaters, wind generators, you name it, they have it. I live up here now, and I pay close to $1 a kilowatt hour. And I'm very thankful that we're doing this turbine project with a generator. I really feel that with programs like weatherization and all these other programs that help people out, that there should be some type of energy type of outfitting for each home to where we could put panels on the home, outfit them with different lights, just go through the whole home and redo everything and see what they need to improve their electric costs, and just outfit the people with a few basic simple things like panels, hot water heater, whatever, that'll just reduce their bills right from the beginning. And I'm sure there's places that we can use wind generation here. There's a guy down the river. He's at his fish camp, his main camp down there. He has a wind generator. He has solar panels. He's running his place just fine. He's got a little farm there and everything. So I know it can be done up here because it's already being done. There's a guy back here. He's got solar panels at some program he got that was mentioned earlier. And he's paying about 25% less right now for his electric bills than we are. So why are the rest of us left out of this program, whatever it is? So basically all I can say is I know it's very possible to fit this village out and have a lot of reduced energy cost if we just look in the right direction, reduce our use in our homes, put some panels on these roofs, maybe get some of them Garen hot water heaters like they have in Tananoff for our laundromat in our school. There's some, to me, real obvious things that we need to do, but they're just not happening except for our turbine project down here, which I'm really proud of that happening. So basically that's all I have to say is that I know it's possible if we focus on the basics like solar panels and the right kind of lights and utilities we're using, and like was mentioned earlier, education to show how easy these things can be used. Mm-hmm. And I think we could all do a lot better in this village with our energy costs, because I'm getting tired of paying it myself.
Yeah. And one of the things that we did, our committee, we started out yesterday in Fairbanks, and we went over and visited the Cold Climate Housing Research
mm-hmm,
Center.
I'm familiar with them.
And John Davies, who's a former colleague of ours, is heading that up. And we will certainly bring back from both Tanana and Ruby the idea that we have, which is that they should come out here and do more outreach. Their role up to this point has really been one of research.
Mm-hmm.
And they will consult with people who already have projects. But I think if I were, you know, to give him the names of the folks that were here, along with the ones in Tanana, that's enough of a connection that perhaps
mm-hmm.
He and his team could make a trip out here to look around and talk about what are some of the things that are happening in cold climate housing. Because, as you said, I mean, there's solar panels and the wind, all kinds of things, but there's also conservation measures and insulation
right.
and windows and ways of doing things. So I sense your frustration and I understand it. We also have a tax incentive bill in the Senate, but frankly we don't pay income taxes in the state, so
right.
there's no incentive as a personal resident to do that. There are grant funds out there, but
yeah.
those are usually for larger projects. So I'm sympathetic to what you're saying, that there are small measures that you can take for your own home and how to get that information out to people.
Right.
And so we'll bring that message back to John Davies and the Cold
okay.
Climate Housing Research Center, and I really appreciate your testimony.
All right. I thank you very much for all being here. Any other questions?
Not a question, just a comment. I'm not sure how many people in Ruby have participated in the weatherization program. I know they have difficulty getting people to come out and do that, but if you've had that done, you could probably get somebody else out here to maybe spend a little more time because you get reimbursed for it. I'm not sure what they charge here. In Fairbanks, it's $325, and sometimes more. It depends on what the rater will do it for, mm-hmm. and then at least you can get your place rated where they'll tell you what should be done. Now, that doesn't tell you anything about putting solar panels or wind generation in, but it tells you what will correct the inadequacies of your particular house as far as making sure that it's as efficient as it can be to start with.
Right.
And then the next step is whether somebody can afford to put panels in or whether there's going to be money to offset somewhat of the cost of solar panels and or wind generation. But I think the easiest answer, particularly in a village setting like this where things are somewhat compact, and the same with Tanana, is just like you said, locating the washateria and the generating capacity and the hot water system in the middle of things, so it's easier to disperse that. And I think
right.
they're realizing that maybe in Tanana that they would have been maybe better off locating that washateria and the Garner burners, boilers, in downtown rather than running a loop, such a long distance and back that could have made more of a circle around the interior there. They only got three or four streets one way, and it's about a mile the other.
That's right, and there's also cogeneration of heat and all these other things
exactly.
that we can utilize, which is one reason because of our clinic, which has no sewer or running water, why they'll be at some point moving it back there so that we can utilize the water and sewer source that's back there already.
Right.
So who knows, maybe that'll be our new center back
yeah.
there with since we have water and our generator and everything back that direction. So
yeah.
I appreciate your comment on that, though, and that is worth looking into. So unless there's any other questions for me,
thank you very much, Ed,
for being here and listening to us.
Absolutely. Okay, and so just a reminder for anyone that's come in, if you'd like to testify, Trevor over here has a sign-in sheet, and just anything you want to talk about related to energy or anything else, come on up. So John Waterhouse.
Okay. I'm glad y'all could come today. We all know there's energy problems here in Alaska, and especially rural Alaska, and I'm glad you got to see the hydrokinetic project down at the river. But I'd like to bring up a few things. This is a wealthy state. Certainly has some problems with energy. And so I would call on the legislature to think about a few things. And one, I'll go down the list real quick. An emerging technologies fund. I know it's been talked about, and it's in the works. But I would urge you, and I would call upon you, to fully fund that at a very high level. I think this state should be a leader in renewable energies. We certainly have the potential. We have the area. We have the people, even the people right here in Ruby, that can get us to that level of leading the United States. I know the governor has said something, 50% of our energy, is that correct, by 2025. So we need to engage now if we're going to make that 50% energy. That's a long ways to go, really. So an emerging technologies fund, but I would put it at levels, too, because I work for a nonprofit. You folks know that. I'm the director of the Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council. And at times, the people that step up to the plate have the capacity to write the grants, write the paperwork, and get the money to fund their project, but at times it's very large organizations that can do that, and I think we're bypassing some of the great ideas that people down at a lower level, the guy that's working in his garage, let's say, that has a wonderful idea for renewable energy. So I'd put it at levels. Maybe, fund some of those big efforts, but also look at some of the little guys that have this wonderful idea that could turn into a big idea. So that's emerging technologies. Secondly, I would to anyone that receives one of these grants. I would put in a training component. I spoke about it down at the river, but I think it's very important. A training component for renewable energies, where the folks that are going to maintain these projects are trained to install them and maintain them. It could be an economic driver for jobs going into the future, but at the same time, somebody has to stay here and take care of this equipment. When I lived in Cold Bay, we had no one to maintain our refrigerators and freezers out there. So 3 times a year, I paid a guy like $4,000 to fly out to Cold Bay to maintain our refrigerators and freezers. It was ridiculous. I finally sent my maintenance guy to school. I finally grew a brain and said, oh, my God, we can save some money. So I would recommend that we definitely get the training funds. And finally, for the guy that's or the family that's out here and they want to put in solar panels or they want to put in whatever it may be, some small project to help with their energy, an interest-free loan or a grant on a small level to the individual so they can afford some of these technologies. We're a wealthy state. I know the economy's gone wrong and all that. We're still a wealthy state, one of the wealthiest in the United States. We could certainly help our citizens out by possibly we could create some sort of a fund where a guy could go and say, you know what, I want to put solar panels and cut my energy down. So could I have a interest-free loan, let's say, or even a small grant just to help them out? Those are three ideas I thought I'd present to you, call upon you to think about, and maybe we can go someplace.
Great. Thank you. And be sure the Emerging Technologies Fund is Senate Bill 150, and we will need support to get it through.
Give me a call.
Okay. Yeah, great ideas. Anyone else on there? Thanks, Trevor. So, Billy McCarty, Jr. And after this, I have Edna Peters and then no one else, and we can take a break and eat dinner that the community has so graciously provided. I want to say thank you to everyone who brought in food for us to share, and so after we're done, we'll break bread together. So, Billy.
Hello. My name is Billy McCarty. I'm the traditional chief here in Ruby, and I just want to welcome you folks here. It's great to see all of you here. Apparently, somebody is doing their job and trying to do something as far as our energy crisis here in Ruby. I was telling Senator French over there earlier, we built this hall in 1967. And I think the price per kilowatt then was about 12 cents a kilowatt. It's gone sky high since then. And there's something else I wanted to mention. I'm really concerned for the whole community as far as paying a high price for electricity. And I sure like to see something done real soon, because we've been paying for quite a few years now a very high price for our electricity here in Ruby. And I know that a lot of other villages don't even come near our high price here in Ruby. So we need something done here soon. I know they're doing a lot of experimenting out there in the river and the other alternatives and all that. So I just appreciate you people coming here and listening to our comments. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments? Okay. Thank you. Edna Peters.
I'm Edna Unger-Peters. I was born in Sitka, but I met a guy from here, and we married, and I've been here over 30 years. Like everyone in this room, we struggle with our utilities, our electricity, and our heating bills. Both my husband and I are on fixed incomes, and we live in a house where we like to use our electricity. We have two TVs that are going almost all day, and our home computer also. I have been trying to be familiar with the alternate sources of energy available, and I started being interested in a wind thing. You know what it does?
The wind turbine.
Yeah. Yeah. And over the years, I've bought whirligigs to add some appeal to my house. And the first ones I bought were destroyed within a day or two. So I would buy better made and more expensive whirligigs. Those two were destroyed. So we have a prime location for a home wind turbine. I've read that they're getting more sophisticated and smaller, so that instead of the energy produced by the wind doesn't have to go into a battery anymore. It can be hooked up directly to our electric line. So what I would like to see is, like the gentleman before me said, ways to assist homeowners to buy a wind turbine. And if you're thinking of testing one, we're your people. So thank you for coming and giving us this opportunity to speak. And I hope we can all benefit from you being here.
Great. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Questions or comments? Senator Thomas.
Just a comment. You have to get your husband to watch the same TV as you. That might help a little bit. And you get the guy from ABS over here to get one of his wind turbines out here for you.
Well, like many families, I'm the boss.
Oh, okay. Then you don't have to ask him. You can just tell him.
I love it. Senator French.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know if we're about to break or not, but I just want to say, and this is more of a comment, that you've all been very gracious to us and very appreciative. And really, the thanks go to Senator McGuire and to Senator Wilikowski. This is their committee, and it was their initiative that brought us out here. I feel very lucky to be in Ruby today. This is a beautiful place, and it's been a wonderful experience. But I just want to say that rural Alaska is only going to survive if we can find a way to bring down the cost of the basics of existence. And what we're focusing on here is energy. We were just in Tanana, and there's only 37 kids in the school in Tanana, and that's a frightening number because it's so low. And I want these kids to be able to live and grow up here. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that we have to work together. We in Juneau, we have the power to write laws and to make appropriations, but there are probably over 100 villages just like this one, and each solution is going to be slightly different. You know your community, and so the best we'll probably ever be able to give you is a toolbox. But you'll have to open that toolbox and make those tools work, just like you're doing down here in the river. Mm-hmm. And so it's very encouraging to me to see that happening here. It can happen across the state. And I just think that we need to just work together like Alaskans and pull and make it work. But I just want to say, again, thanks for having us here, and congratulations to our co-chairs.
To kind of add to that, with all the trouble and strife in our world, living in village Alaska is probably the safest place we could be. And that was really brought out during 9/11 when everything in the country shut down. But we who are used to living our lifestyle weren't in any problem. Planes weren't flying for at least 2 weeks. And none of us were in any kind of jeopardy. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. So, but we do need some help with our energy expenses.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else here that didn't sign up that would like to say something? Okay. Well, if not, thank you very much. We'll go ahead and eat together. Thank you so much for bringing the food in, and let's enjoy.